Today, brethren, we are here not only on a normal Sabbath day, but the day that pictures the return of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many prophecies that pertain to the beginning of the day of the Lord, but today I want to focus on the promise of Jesus Christ's return and what that means for you and I. The very fact that he has said that he will return is part of our belief, the vision that we have, and it's very core to everything that we are here for and looking forward to. You know, today we look around this world and we can see that we need someone the caliber of Jesus Christ to be able to come back and establish peace on this in this world. We as a nation have just recently kicked out a dictator from Iraq, and we're trying to reestablish that government. And they do not appreciate us being there. Yes, they might appreciate the fact that we removed Saddam Hussein, but now they want their country back. They want us out. And we're going to pour billions and billions of dollars into that nation over the next few years to try and get it back on its feet without any appreciation. And we know in the future, part of the prophecies all pertain around the Middle East. And there's a lot of unrest over there. We have not been able to help in the process of Israel and Palestine to create peace. And yet here we are, one of the mightiest nations with the most power and wealth that has ever been, and yet we cannot create peace. Turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I just recently had bifocals integrated with my contacts. We're still going through a process trying to get them fitted, so I may have to use my reading glass. I may not. I don't know yet. See how it works. All the different things that modern man can do. Second Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And let's begin in verse 12. I did bring those glasses up. I can read my notes, I just can't get the Bible yet. A little too fine of print. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We live in a time that evil is ever present, and it's going to continue to go and multiply in this time at the end. Says verse 14, but it is for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Brethren, we can look around, and not only do we see that peace cannot be established, we see the fact that evil is starting to grow more and more. This morning's newspaper had an article buried in the back on child pornography. In Germany, they've just recently arrested, and other nations over there, approximately 166 individuals, many of them teachers, policemen, leaders in that nation. Evil is becoming more and more prevalent all the time. More and more people are seeking things that are evil-oriented, or Satan's way. It's a condition. do we see in the end time? One of the things that we know is foretold to happen before Christ's return. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter now. Corinthians 15th chapter and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. Let's just drop back here and start with verse 12 to pick up what is being said here by the Apostle Paul. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Part of what is pictured today, being resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. He's addressing this to some that claim that Christ would not return, that there was no resurrection. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Because Christ is the first fruit. He's our elder brother. And if God could not even raise Jesus Christ, there is no hope for any one of us. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith also in vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he had raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. If Christ would have come and died and not risen, to be able to return once again, there would be no hope for any one of us. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Brethren, today is very essential. The fact that Christ had to die and be raised up so he could once return again at his second coming. It's a very basic part of our belief. Let's go to 2 Timothy. The 4th chapter and verse 8. Talking here about Paul at the time before his death when he knew his time was short. Let's just drop back to verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew his death was imminent. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." Something that we need to look forward to continually. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And that's pictured as a part of the Day of Trumpets. You know, if we didn't have something to look forward to, it says back in Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 18, without vision, people perish. The survival of this world depends on the very fact that Jesus Christ must return. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 22. Matthew 24 and verse 22. "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. There are many ways that this world could disappear at this time. We went through the Cold War, looking at Russia having the capability of a war with us that would have a nuclear fallout. There's biological and chemical warfare these days that could wipe out thousands and hundreds of thousands of people if released. There's a lot of many ways through pollution that man is doing to this earth now. Given enough time, we will destroy the very environment that we live in. And there's many more ways. I've only named a couple that, left up to man, we could destroy this very earth that we live on. So we do need Christ to return. We do need to see him come back and establish his government. You know, many Christians today sincerely believe that at their baptism, that Christ enters into them, and that is their second coming, for the fact that they have entered into them at their baptism, and that they now live in the kingdom. And at their death, they go to heaven. Many believe that Christ is going to return secretly, that when he comes at his second coming, that there's going to be a rapture, and many are just going to leave. He's going to take them up, and the rest of the world will not know about it. He's going to come for a select few. Many have the understanding that Christ is going to return, but it's not part of their hope. They know he's going to return, but they don't know when, why, for what reason. But they do believe it. They've heard enough from it that they do believe that he will return, but they do not have full understanding of what this day pictures and what it means for them. So it's essential that Christ return so that all humanity understands and he can show his true and righteous way when he establishes his government here on this earth. Let's go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. It's promised that he will return. Second Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 3 and 4. Knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking around in their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Atheists tell us there's evolution, and it's the strong that are going to survive, and scoff at the very fact that there is any God or his son Jesus Christ that came to this earth. Many wonder at when he will return. As a church, we have put dates in the past, predicted when he would return. This world looked for him to return in 1000. It looked for him to return in 2000 as we turned the century. Now many are picking dates of 2030, 2033, taking into account that Christ lived for 30-some years. So they're already setting a new date out there, looking for Christ's return. You know, no man can predict the time of Christ's return. There was a book out here recently that I read on the code of the Bible. And you go through and it puts numbers to letters and words, and if you go through, you can line them up and you can find predictions throughout the Bible, supposedly, if they all line up right. And many believe that the code is in the Bible, and it's just a matter of deciphering that code to be able to break and have the full plan of God, the full plan of when he will return, and it's all there, and all the different things that have happened from Adam till Christ's return. Well, Satan the devil doesn't even know when Christ will return, let alone if there was a code, being the covering archangel of God, he would know God's mind probably better than any of the other angels other than his son Jesus Christ. And even Christ has said that he knows not the time of the return, that it's up to the Father. So we can't look forward to dates. We can't look forward to predictions of when Christ will return. We have to look at the times, the things that are wrapped around it, and he will give us and show us that time. And we look forward to his return. In the Old Testament, there's promise of his coming. Let's take a look at that in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. It was foretold before Christ actually set forth a foot on this earth. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Christ is going to return, it was foretold in the Old Testament. And we're only taking a few of the examples today. Let's go to Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel also foretold of Christ's return. Daniel, the 7th chapter, and verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And this Son of Man is a title that even Christ took and is used many times in the New Testament also. He came to the Ancient of Days, talking of God the Father, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. The kingdoms of this day and age all have passed, and the ones that are in existence now, at some time in the future, many of those will pass. It's part of history. It's part of man ruling over man without Jesus Christ. Let's look at Luke, the 1st chapter, in verse 30. An angel came to Mary and predicted or told her that she was going to bear the child to become Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. All the prophecies tell us that Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament and beginning before he was born, that he is going to return to establish his government to this earth. Not one formed from man or a regime or a nation that is in existence at this time or in the past history. It's going to be new. It's going to be the kingdom of God established here on this earth. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew 3 and verse 11. Matthew, the third chapter and verse 11. John the Baptist foretold of Christ. Says, I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, or the baptism of the fire. In God's government, when he comes and he returns, those that want to be a part of his kingdom of righteousness are the ones that are going to be in his kingdom. There will be some that have decided that they do not want part of that kingdom and refuse God and the Spirit that comes from him through Jesus Christ. They will not be part of that kingdom. It will be a righteous kingdom, one set up on righteous laws, the law of love toward God and also love toward mankind. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter, and verse 1. John the 14th chapter and verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ died, covered our sins, was resurrected by God the Father as the first fruit, as our elder brother, and he told us that he was going away to prepare a place for us. His government has many places in his mansion for individuals that want to be a part of his government, the part of a righteous government, of one of following his true law and the one that comes through obeying him and using his Holy Spirit. And he said that he was going away to prepare a place for us. And on his return, those, the first fruits, will receive that as a reward at his second coming. After his death, it also talked about Christ's return. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter. Acts 1 and verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and Jesus had come back. He had shown himself to the apostles, and as he left, he was taken up in a cloud, and he was received out of their sight. And as verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the manner as you saw him go into the heaven. Jesus Christ will return from heaven, and it's going to be seen by this whole world. It's not something that's going to be hidden. It's not going to be secret. He's not going to come down and grab 144,000 and leave. When Jesus Christ returns, we're going to see it, and he's going to establish his kingdom. The whole world will know that Jesus Christ has returned. Let's go to Jude. Small book in front of Revelation. Jude reminded them of Christ's return. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Jude was reminding them that it's even been prophesied from the day of Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam. Before the flood, it was prophesied that Christ would return and establish his government, a righteous government. It's been something that has been prophesied since the beginning of days. God's plan has been given to someone through the ages. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and see what Christ had to say about his coming. Matthew 24. The apostles were always after Christ to know when he was coming. Matthew 24, and let's begin with verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect's sake. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus Christ's return is going to be something that this whole world sees. As lightning comes from the east to west, so it's going to start and it's going to go around this world. You know, we have the ability today to go out in the battlefield and take pictures of what's going on during the war in Iraq and be sent back from the satellite, and it was broadcast around this world. Jesus Christ does not need our modern technology. When you think about lightning and the power that it possesses, and you think about what it will be like after that lightning goes through the heavens, there's something that comes after that, and that's thunder. And if it's that big of lightning bolt that goes around this world, you can imagine we're going to hear it. Perchance you have been asleep. When it thunders, I think you will wake up. Jesus Christ is not going to come back in secret, but he is going to return. Let's drop down to verse 30 now. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So Christ says, I'm going to return the same way as I was taken up from heaven in the clouds. Verse 31, and he will send his angel with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. At Christ's return, he's going to gather together all those he calls his own, those that have his spirit and are part of the body of Christ. Let's go to Revelation, the first chapter, and verse 7. Revelation 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye. And they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's going to return, and this whole earth, everyone that is alive on it at that time, is going to know that Christ has returned. Nations are going to be sorry to see him return. He's going to establish his government, and there's nothing that they can do to stop him. Part of the day of the Lord pictures the fact that they will fight against him, and he will destroy their armies in Armageddon. So any military feat that they might muster will already be squelched. They will be at his mercy. Let's turn to the 11th chapter, verse 15 of Revelation. Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Christ is going to return, and his government will be established here on this earth. 1 Thessalonians talks about the resurrection at his return and his coming. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 13 of the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And this is our hope, the promise that God, our Father, has given to us. The very fact that he has raised Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Brethren, we can be comforted with the very fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. Yes, if some of us are alive at the time that he does return, we're going to have to wait for all those who have died first to rise, and then we'll be caught up after that at his second coming. Brethren, this day pictures and will fulfill many of the things that we look forward to, that we anxiously wait. As we look around at the conditions of this world now, the evil that is present and even ever more present that we will see as the day of the Lord approaches. And people will continue on like there's nothing happening, waiting for that day. Let's go to Philippians, the third chapter, in closing. Philippians 3, the third chapter, and let's begin with verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. He encourages us to stand fast to the very end of time. Brethren, Jesus Christ is going to return. Will he return while we are alive? I'm not sure. We could leave here and be in an accident and die tomorrow. Many of us of the younger ones will go on and live another 60 years or 80 years, depending on their many factors. But we do know that Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's just a matter of time when God the Father says it's time for him to return. And at that time, he will return. And he will establish his government. That is part of our hope, it's part of our vision, and the very core of our belief. And let's anxiously look forward to the return of Jesus Christ.